We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, CB TPFL. It's Thursday. It's March 21st. It is 2024. We have a 6-game NBA slate to talk about here on today's podcast. Joined today by my good buddy, Kyle Murray, K Murray DFS, or K Murr DFS in the DFS and Twitter streets. Kyle, what's happening, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Obviously, we're in the middle of a very fun NBA stretch. March NBA is always fun. So excited to break that down for you. And excited to talk some hoops.
Yeah, fun is, let's use that word very lightly, okay? hoops in general is fun this time of year because we got March Madness. We got teams trying to fight for playoff spots. So March NBA, though, I don't know if fun is the right word.
It's all perspective, right? I think some people had fun watching Virginia not score a point for an hour last night.
It was wild, right? Betters against, like, betting against Virginia in that game, definitely liked watching Virginia not score for, you know, half a game, so, or half a half, whatever it was a lot. So Derek says, what's up, y'all? Trent sucks. I agree. Gary Trent, never again. Gosh, man, if there was ever a spot for Gary Trent to, like, go bonkers and just, she just stinks. Gosh, she stinks. Ellis came through for us, though. He had 4 steals, so the over 2.5 steals and blocks, that definitely worked out for Ellis. We'll talk about him here in a minute as well. What's up, YouTube? Hope you're having a fantastic Wednesday night. Let's jump in and have some fun here. As Kyle said, it's a fun time for NBA. We get started with Sacramento at Washington, 237.5 total in this one. Sacramento, a 10.5-point favorite. Sacramento on a back-to-back, so we'll be waiting on injury news for them. It doesn't sound like Kevin Huerter will come back for this game. He's really dealing with a shoulder injury, and he hasn't been practicing or anything, so I think he is a stretch to play. I think Lyles will be out again as well. And then on the Washington side, Advia is questionable. Bagley, Colby, Tyus Jones, Livers, Shamet all out. Holmes questionable. So we'll break that down here in just a second. But let's start here with the Kings. They're coming off of they pounded the Raptors. Raptors just never were in that game. The Raptors are just one of the worst teams in the NBA right now. This team is really, really struggling defensively, offensively, everything. They have too many people out. But let's go Kings first. What do we like here for Sacramento?
Yeah, obviously a great matchup here against Washington, who was essentially bottom of the pack in almost every stat category that you can really look at. So obviously guys like Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, these guys are going to be in play. I mean, they're in play pretty much every night just because of how good they are in general, but obviously a great matchup for them. And especially like for me, Fox always seems to be a guy who tends to get overlooked. I think if people like the Kings, they prefer Sabonis over Fox. So if it's a spot where he's lower owned, that could also be an interesting spot here. Malik Monk, though, I think is also an interesting option. He's been a guy that's been projecting pretty well for us pretty consistently over at RotoGrinders. So, I mean, you know, you look at his production tonight, obviously a pretty solid game. And then even two nights ago, played almost 40 minutes, had 28 real points. So looking at his production recently, obviously with Kevin Huerter being out of the rotation due to the injury, he's able to have that more of a minute ceiling. So I do like Malik Monk quite a bit, even as an ancillary piece, I suppose. But obviously starting at the top, guys like Fox and Sabonis, both great plays. And then can definitely go back to Ellis again. I'm assuming he's going to project for a similar amount of minutes, play 34 minutes on the 18th. So, yeah, he's going to continue to be in the rotation with all these injuries. So I think all these guys are in play. Those are probably the top four that I'm looking at for the Kings to start.
Yeah, Ellis is just, I tweeted this out, he's like the stocks king now. He's just so active defensively that you have to have some exposure to him, whether it be in the betting streets or whether it be in the DFS streets, you know. So I think that this is a fantastic spot to attack because, like, Washington is definitely a team that turns the ball over a lot. So I think Ellis, if he comes in at 2.5 again, obviously it's a back-to-back, so we don't have this lineup. It probably won't be up until the morning. But if he comes back in at the 2.5 blocks and steals, right back to it. He's just been absolutely crushing this number. So I'll be checking that in the morning and seeing if it's at 2.5. 3.5, I probably pass, even though I do think like 3.5 is very doable. I definitely want that number to be at 2.5 for Ellis. And you're really potentially just waiting and maybe paying a little bit more juice to see, make sure that Herter's not going to play, because Huerter being out definitely gives Ellis a higher floor for minutes. Back to the well here on Sabonis. I love this spot for him. He's just uber consistent. He was going to smash. Like, if that game stayed remotely close, Sabonis was going to smash in that game, and it just didn't stay close. He still put up 55. He played 28 minutes. He put up 55 fantasy points. He had a triple-double. Like, he's just so consistently good that on the six-game slate, definitely want to have some exposure to Sabonis. Let's go to the Washington side here. No Tyus Jones already. We know Bagley's out. Denny, we'll see if he plays or not. And Kuzma not on the injury report. So we don't even have to worry about Kuzma playing or not playing here. We know he's not. We know he's going to be in there. Jordan Poole kind of disappointed people the other night. What are our thoughts here on Washington?
Yeah, I mean, if Denny and Tyus are out, again, obviously we know Tyus is going to be out, but if Denny joins him, that kind of opens up some things pretty much across the board, but specifically with the guys up top. I know Poole's a letdown, and he's kind of made a career, I suppose, out of letting people down, especially in Washington. But Kuzma would obviously be, you know, in play once again. But when you look at the numbers with Denny and Tyus Jones off the floor, Jordan Poole's a 34% usage rate. So obviously he's been benefiting that from that in the kind of the later stage of the season where he's playing with that second unit. But regardless, you should expect more usage from Poole. So it might be a spot where you can kind of buy on a bounce back here for Poole. So again, you know, he projected well for us last time. I would assume he's going to project well for us again. And if that's the case, and he's going to be lower owned because of it, don't mind going back to it, even though he's not going to project as strong as he did last game because Kuzma's back, but probably going to be lower owned. So it might be a spot where that evens out. Kuzma, I think, is a strong play. He has a ceiling, but you know, his, even though there's going to be a, you know, tons of usage opening up for him, I still don't think he has a super safe floor. It's just who Kyle Kuzma is, but the ceiling is definitely still there. So those two, I think, do make some sense as spend-ups. We'll be interested to see sort of where our minutes come in for some of these secondary guys who have sort of stepped in and played well or played big minutes. Obviously, we've seen guys like Baldwin and Davis get minutes and then do nothing with it, but Champagne, he played 31 minutes last game and had, he's coming off of two strong games in a row. So actually three strong games in a row. So if he's going to continue to play 25 plus minutes, might not necessarily translate there with some of these guys returning, but if he's just benefiting from Tyus Jones being out, he could easily be projecting for 25 plus points again, and once again, be a pretty strong value play.
Yeah. The interesting thing about him, Easy in chat, does Kuzma coming back hurt Champagne? I think it really comes down to if Denny is back or not. If Advia is out, I think that it's not going to hurt him too much here. I think it would potentially hurt like Baldwin, those type of guys. I think Champagne likely plays 30 plus minutes. I think he plays at least 25 minutes if Denny's out. So at 4,900, I think you can keep going to him here. As much as like Jordan Poole has like broken our hearts, if he's going to put up 18 to 22 shots against Sacramento, I think you have to have some exposure to him. Like,
yeah,
Sacramento is so bad at defending shots. He put up 28 actual points against them earlier this year and hit 8 threes. So we already know what to do with shooters against Sacramento. I mean, Jordan Poole can follow Gary Trent and, you know, break our hearts, but I feel like he's the shooter on this team. He's the guy that's going to get the shots up. Kuzma's going to get shots up, but like, we don't expect Kuzma to shoot 20 plus times most nights. If there was ever a spot for him to do it, this is a good spot. So I think spending up for either one of these guys is fine. Definitely looking at these guys in the betting markets, depending on what their lines open up at. We got New Orleans at Orlando. 209.5 total here. New Orleans, a 1.5-point favorite. Ryan is questionable. Orlando's good to go. Let's go Pelicans first here. Tough matchup going up against my Magic. Any interest here in New Orleans?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, Zion, he's been pretty spectacular as of late, pretty much since, honestly, the new year, right? Obviously, there's a bunch of talks about him, you know, getting healthier and, you know, being down weight and stuff like that. But it seems like he's just, you know, more consistent, more, you know, willing to kind of take over for this team, where, you know, in years past, it was oftentimes, you know, Brandon Ingram or, you know, even CJ McCollum after the trade. So it does seem like Zion's a little bit, you know, different right now from a scoring perspective. We haven't really seen that translate to like massive ceiling games from a DFS perspective, because he's not posting these huge, you know, peripheral stat games, but I do think those are going to come soon. I just don't know if I like that here in this spot. It's a pretty brutal matchup. You know, Orlando, they pretty much limit everything from a fantasy perspective across the board. And it's going to be probably a pretty slow paced game as well. So Zion is the one guy I wouldn't mind here. But in general, don't have a ton of interest. Trey Murphy's also been a guy who's been a pretty consistent producer, but his price is up now, 5.9. I don't necessarily like the price. I mean, when CJ McCollum's only $500 more, you know, you probably feel better about McCollum's ceiling there, even though it is a bad matchup. But overall, I just think it's probably a game, but particularly from the Pelican side, that I'm not, you know, too enthused with.
Yeah. So what I thought was interesting about like Zion here, like you said, he's been playing fantastic here recently, was the books kind of priced his point prop down, you know, on the betting side of things here. Like, it's at 23.5. He's been absolutely smashing this number. It's a tough matchup. Orlando Magic's one of the toughest matchups on the board for bigs. So I thought that was like somewhat interesting here. I hate playing people against my Magic. I watch these guys play. They're really, really strong defensively. If I was going to play somebody, it would probably be Zion, because like his upside is just there. I think this is a really tough spot for BI. And honestly, I think this is a really tough spot for McCollum. So I really think if I'm playing somebody from the Pelicans here, it's probably Zion. Trey Murphy's been playing good. This is just a terrible spot for him too. Again, the Magic are just so good defensively that I don't want to get too excited about playing Pelicans at normal prices against this team. And then, I mean, the Magic, they're really deep. I talk about this all the time. They have one of the deepest benches in the NBA. They use a lot of these guys. They play the hot hand all the time on whoever's playing well. I don't know if I necessarily love anybody from the Magic side here. I mean, Paolo is a superstar in the making. This guy is going to be a guy we talk about for the next 10 years plus. Franz is a really good role player. He's kind of like the Robin to Batman with Paolo. The point guard situation, I mean, it could any given night, Suggs could have a good game. Anthony off the bench could have a good game. They're still playing Gary Harris a lot in close games that I don't know if I necessarily want that much exposure. I think that if anything, maybe some Jonathan Isaac. I know he only played like 8 minutes the other night. He was never coming back in that game. We were beating Charlotte by like 40 points in that game. Jonathan Isaac, I think if Jonathan Isaac can play 20 minutes in this close game defensively, he has an upside for stocks. And he's a guy that can like get the poor man's double-double, like 10-10 type of game. And he's 3,900. So might look at Isaac in large field tournaments if he's not going to be popular here. What are your thoughts on the Magic?
Yeah, I don't mind the Isaac call. You know, he's always a guy who can, you know, go out there and post a 1.2 fantasy point per minute showing any given night. So I don't mind that. Paolo, obviously, like you mentioned, he's going to be you know, one of the better players in the league for, you know, a long time coming. But it is a pretty difficult matchup. Like, I just think the game is going to be, in general, pretty slow. So I think I like some other players in the Paolo price range more. And honestly, I think I might even like Zion a little bit more just because he's a couple hundred dollars cheaper. But, you know, obviously nothing wrong with Paolo. Obviously, we've seen his ceiling. But I just think this game in particular is not all that exciting. I think the one guy who I do like, who's a little bit cheaper, is Wendell Carter Jr. You know, we've seen a weakness for this Pelicans team, or I guess maybe a strength as a matchup, is, you know, their the way they allow blocks. In our model, Roto Grinders has a pretty significant boost there for block upside. So Wendell Carter's probably going to have a nice little projection boost there because of that. The minutes haven't been great for him, but if he can play 28 minutes, I think he can easily post, you know, 30 DK points. And at 5,300, that would be, you know, more than enough there. So he's a guy that I do have some interest in.
You like him in close projected games too, because he's another guy that is kind of first off the court in blowouts. So the Magic really, I mean, they just haven't been playing a ton of close games recently. So, you know, his minutes, like we saw him, like the close Toronto game, he played 28 minutes. The Brooklyn game that was close, he played 27 minutes. I think overall, I don't mind the Wendell Carter Jr. call, because I do expect this to be one of the closer games on the slate. Again, pace wise, it kind of stinks. Production wise, it kind of stinks as far as the DFS side. But I do think that, you know, game wise, it's a great game. You know, if you want to play some of the value plays here, I think that's where you attack this one and just hope you get the minutes. Brooklyn at Milwaukee, 222.5 total here. Milwaukee 9-point favorite. They're on a back to back. Claxton questionable, Finney-Smith and Simmons out for Brooklyn. Giannis, I mean, I really do think that like this is a real thing for him, the hamstring injury for him. I really do think it's a real injury, and they're being very careful with him just in general here. We saw the Bucks play a really close, competitive. Bobby Portis did his thing. Middleton had a really good game too against Boston. They end up losing that game by 3, but I wouldn't be shocked if Giannis comes back and Middleton sits, like they flip-flop in this game. But we'll talk about that in just a second. Let's go to the Brooklyn side of this one. Claxton questionable is interesting. If Claxton's out, we assume Sharp would start, play, 28-plus minutes here at 4,200 against Milwaukee. That seems like one of the value spots that we could circle if we do get the news that Claxton sits.
Yeah, absolutely. 4,200, that would, you know, instantly put him in probably cash consideration, I would say, but definitely, you know, one of the stronger value plays. Obviously, you know, I'm sure we'll have more news come in throughout the day tomorrow and whatnot, but yeah, absolutely. And then in terms of, you know, the rest of this sort of rotation, obviously with Dorian Finney-Smith being out, that helps a couple guys as well. So we could easily see a guy like Cameron Johnson get into the 30 minutes or more. Cam Thomas might play a couple extra minutes. So I do think that this could be a good spot for some of these guys. I don't necessarily love some of the prices on them. Like Cam Thomas is probably my favorite net, but with his price at 7,200, I don't know if I love the price tag there. All things considered, Claxton's probably my favorite guy. Maybe have some interest in Cam Johnson as a value option. It is a bummer that he's only power forward eligible. I guess it's not a, you know, the end of the world because you have, you know, the forward slot on DraftKings, but you know, it's just a little bit easier when he was a small forward, power forward. And then, you know, I think those are probably the main two guys. And obviously if Sharp gets the start over Claxton, you can easily just, you know, fill him in there and he makes a lot of sense as a replacement. But Schroeder's also been playing a ton of minutes. He's 6,200 again, kind of priced towards his ceiling, I would say. I don't think that at 6,200, he's a guy who, even if he plays 35 minutes where you're really regretting not having, but you know, Mikal Bridges sort of been a headache all year long, so I'm probably not going there. So for me, it's probably just going to come down to Claxton and Johnson. And then if Claxton's out, it'll probably just, you know, be Sharp as a value option.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I mean, this injury news definitely matters for me. We talked a little bit the other day, like, could it be Lonnie Walker that potentially steps up for Finney Smith? Well, I mean, it wasn't. So I don't know if I'd necessarily would try that. I don't mind the Schroeder call. I wish he was a little bit cheaper. Do you like the matchup for him, especially with Milwaukee on the second end of a back-to-back? I think this game has a better potential to stay closer. The Milwaukee side, again, I do feel like this could be a spot that Middleton sits. You know, he's just coming back, and he played, if I remember correctly, he played quite a bit of minutes against Boston. Let me pull that back up. I think he ended up playing, like, yeah, he played 33 minutes. So I would assume that, you know, Middleton probably sits here. Portis had a great game, like I mentioned. What are we doing here with Milwaukee?
Yeah, there was a quote from Doc Rivers earlier on Middleton that I'm trying to find. I remember him saying something about it being 50-50. So yeah, I would guess that Middleton sits. Obviously he was not playing back-to-backs earlier in the season coming off the offseason injury and then got injured again. So I would assume they're pretty careful with him. And it also just makes sense to where, you know, they're just staggering between Giannis and Middleton getting nights off. I do agree with you. I think Giannis is actually, you know, being bothered by this, but I don't think it's an injury that'll necessarily hold him out unless, you know, they're trying to give him nights off here and there, which I think that's probably what it is. But if Middleton's out, I think guys that it benefits are probably the guys up top, Portis, Lillard, and Giannis. And I don't think that it matters a ton because of the fact that they're already, you know, priced to a point where they're fairly expensive and, you know, they're already just going to be the sort of standard player they are. And this really is not a great matchup either. So it's not a spot that I'm dying to get to for these guys. Now, if Giannis and Middleton are out, I think Lillard's a really strong play. I think Portis is a really strong play. Obviously Portis, like you mentioned, you know, had the big game. So yeah, those two guys I'd be looking at as first clicks in. And then now the value pieces for Milwaukee, it's just tough for me to get excited about any of these value pieces. It's just, you know, guys like Jay Crowder, guys who could potentially play some minutes, but not necessarily, you know, benefit from, you know, having good permanent production. Like, you know, he played 15 minutes tonight, Malik Beasley 28 minutes, Pat Connaughton 24. None of them really do anything in these minutes. So I don't think these value guys are going to be guys I'm overly interested in. I think Portis, Lillard, those are the guys I'm going to mainly look at there. And then obviously if Giannis plays.
Yeah, I mean, Giannis, if he plays, is interesting. If Giannis and Middleton are both out, I feel like Portis probably one of the top value plays on the slate. I wouldn't even overthink that. I wouldn't overthink the game theory of like ownership or anything. I would just load up on Portis, you know, kind of what we talked about if Giannis was out here on Wednesday. Chicago at Houston, 214.5 total. Houston, a 3-point favorite. Caruso and White, questionable. White's getting close. We'll talk about that in a second. Sengun, Whitmore out. Let's go to Chicago. I mean, he was back at practice, fully practiced on Wednesday. I assume he plays here, Kobe White, that is. Maybe he sits, but all the signs definitely point to Kobe White being back. Caruso, I mean, he's had this like questionable tag. He did like roll his ankle. He didn't practice Wednesday. So like I think that Caruso's probably on the questionable side of questionable. What are your thoughts here on Chicago?
Yeah, definitely. I'm with you. I think Kobe White probably plays. I know Woj tweeted out, I think after, I want to say Tuesday's game or whatever it was, I think the 13th is when they played, that White had a chance to return for the Saturday game, which was against Portland, I believe. So I think, you know, that just kind of, or maybe that was the Monday game, but I'm assuming that maybe with the matchup against Portland, you know, being obviously a win that they could probably chalk up, or maybe not necessarily an opponent they need to worry about a ton, maybe just give them the extra couple days off. So I would assume he plays here. And like you mentioned, he returned to practice. Caruso, I agree with you. He's sort of been dealing with this questionable tags, played through it quite often, but wouldn't be surprised if he also sits. You know, Houston, at the beginning of the year, they were playing some really solid defense, sort of trended backwards. But now they're sort of in a spot where it's not necessarily an elite matchup. They're more in the middle of the pack, but I still don't really get excited about any of these Chicago guys just in general, really. I think a lot of them are priced properly. Like for a while, Io was really cheap and he was obviously playable most nights, and he's had a pretty strong season, especially recently coming off of his you know, two better games of the year for him, but he's obviously priced up now. So especially if White and Caruso play, you really can't play him at that price tag. So I just think for me personally, these Chicago guys are just priced out of really a ton of consideration. I mean, obviously you can play them in tournaments, but especially if White is out, but for me, probably not going to get to a ton of them just because of the price.
I think Vooch is somewhat interesting here. Like, I wish he was a little bit cheaper. And one of the reasons that I like Sabonis so much on this slate is because, like, I could see Sabonis just absolutely smashing and being the highest scoring center by, like, 15 or 20 points. I think Vooch is right up there with him, though, as far as, like, good centers plays on this slate. So, I mean, obviously we have Jokic as well, and we'll talk about him. His price is a little bit higher at 12K than those guys. So I think overall, if White comes back, even if Caruso's out, I just don't have a ton of interest here in a lot of these guys. If White, for some reason, sits again, I mean, I'll keep playing AU. I absolutely love this guy. No new news here as far as that on the morning grind. Everyone knows that I love this guy. The Houston side of this game, I mean, Van Vliet, I talked about this on Scores and Odds yesterday. Yeah, so Tuesday's slate. His assist rate is through the roof with Sengun out. His potential assist per game is like almost three or four higher. It's like 17.4 or something before the Washington game, and he had 11 assists in that game, and that game wasn't close. His assist rate right now is very, very high. He shot terrible the other night, but he's a guy that has that double-double upside right now. Jalen Green balled out the other night. He had 40 actual points, 60 plus five fantasy points or something like that. It was really high. I mean, the two guards here definitely standing out, but I don't see how this team doesn't get Landell extra minutes in this game. I don't know if Jabari Smith is going to be able to handle Vooch.
Yeah, that's a good point. And Jock's been playing, you know, 20-ish minutes over the past couple of games, and obviously he played 25-plus minutes three and four games ago. So he's definitely been a prominent part of the rotation, so this could easily be a spot where it's just, you know, very easy for them to slot him in for a couple extra minutes matchup-wise. So I like that call quite a bit. I do think it's a great matchup for Van Vliet and Jalen Green here. Chicago is, you know, they like to force the ball to the perimeter and force perimeter shots. And, you know, that typically leads to three-point attempts going up against Chicago. Obviously, you need them to fall for a guy like Van Vliet. You know, we saw him have a ton of assists last game, but didn't get anything to go. So obviously, you need the shooting to come with it. But he should have plenty of opportunity. And like you mentioned, the assist rate's been super high. And for Jalen Green, you know, his scoring has obviously been amazing as of late, you know, three straight games with 25 plus points, two out of the last three, 37 plus points. But I think one thing that is really interesting with Green is his rebounds. He's got back-to-back double doubles with 10 plus rebounds, four straight games with seven plus rebounds. So he's been rebounding really well. And that's obviously going to, you know, Jalen Green's always been a guy, oh, he needs to score a bunch of points to get there. And while that is still true, the added rebounding potential and the added rebounding upside has really sort of helped him to obviously elevate his ceiling, as we saw 68 DK, 67 and a half DK last time out. So that's an interesting development there for Green. And I do think it's a good matchup for him shooting wise. So Green and Van Vliet, I like quite a bit. And then I do like the Landale call as well.
Yeah. And I mean, Thompson, if he continues to start, his rebounding is going to continue to be high. You know, you keep looking at Thompson. So I think Houston, even though I don't necessarily love the potential pace of this game, I think Houston's definitely a team we're going to keep targeting right now. I mean, Sangoon being out of this lineup right now is so it's massive. And like this game does project to stay pretty close. So yeah, I mean, I like this spot quite a bit. Dallas and Utah, or Utah at Dallas, 238.5 total here. Dallas, a 13.5 point favorite. Utah on a back-to-back, and Green is out for Dallas. We'll start with Utah. It doesn't sound like Clarkson's getting any closer, but Markkanen should be back for this game. It was like the maintenance front end of a back-to-back out for him on Wednesday, so Markkanen should return here. What do we like for the Jazz in this matchup against Dallas?
Yeah, I think this could be a pretty interesting game. Two teams that have definitely shown the willingness to play at fast paces here. And obviously with Clarkson being out, that's going to open up some things. And I would also assume that Markkanen returns, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they're reluctant to, you know, trot him out there for a ton of minutes. And we've seen a guy like Walker Kessler benefit in these situations where either Collins or Markkanen have been limited minutes wise. You know, last game, I guess before tonight's game, Kessler played 28 minutes and Markkanen and Collins were pretty limited. So I think Kessler could be a pretty interesting play here. I also think that they could maybe use his size to match up with Dallas a little bit. Obviously going to be playing one of those big centers, Gafford and Lively, pretty much extensively on the floor. They're going to pretty much split the 48-minute center minutes there. So I like Kessler quite a bit. I think Sexton is also pretty interesting. You know, we've seen his minute ceiling go up as of late, and obviously he benefits from the absence of Clarkson. So, you know, we've now seen two of his last three games with 31% usage rates or higher. He scored 20-plus points in five straight games, seven of his last eight. So the scoring has been there for Sexton. We're just kind of waiting on, you know, I guess the big DraftKings showing, which we haven't really seen. He hasn't posted 40 plus points, you know, with all of these guys, you know, being limited or out. But I do think that's coming. It could easily be a spot here against Dallas, which could easily turn into a bit of a shootout. But Kessler is probably my favorite play. I think he's going to be a pretty interesting contrarian option.
Yeah, I think Kessler, I think that call is interesting. Dallas definitely playing with more size at center. So they, like you said, they might need him in this spot. I think Keontae is someone that has been burning us a little bit here recently. God, you love guards against Dallas just in general. So I don't mind potentially looking at Keontae. I don't mind maybe taking some shots on Markkanen. Like if this game stays close, Markkanen's probably having a good game. So I don't mind that. On the Dallas side, I mean, Luka is just such a fantastic play on every given slate. His floor-ceiling combo is just massive. Kyrie, 9,400 for Kyrie seems too high with Luka in there. Gafford, his price is almost up. So I feel like the price for me on Gafford is probably like priced out now. The minutes are kind of all over the place. If anything, maybe Lively in large field tournaments. If Gafford got into some foul trouble and Lively picked up a couple extra minutes and played, you know, 20, he's someone that could produce very, very good fantasy point per minute production. So maybe Lively, but I mean, Luka's the play. It's a 6-game slate. I don't think you really want to overthink Dallas here.
Yeah, Luka's just been awesome. And honestly, Kyrie's been great as well. I think from a fantasy perspective, Luka's been obviously the bigger producer, but it is so fun to watch Kyrie Irving go out there and do a bunch of fun stuff. Obviously, he's been getting a lot of attention on social media after that left-handed shot that he had in Jokic's face. But regardless, just, you know, really fun to watch. Even last game with, you know, Luka I mean, struggling from a scoring perspective. He shot 22% from the field, 2 for 12 from three, still put up 60 DK points because he put up a triple double. So it's almost like you never want to say that you can, you know, lock him in for 60 points, but when he's getting 60 points while scoring just 18 real points and having only one stock, it just goes to show how ridiculous this guy's production is right now. So yeah, I think you can always play Luka at pretty much any price right now. So yeah, he's been awesome. Gafford, I will continue to like here. I think this is a good spot for him. I think they'll, you know, continue to use his size, him and Lively. And if they're going to sort of, you know, either split the minutes down the middle, which they've been doing pretty consistently, or, you know, at times, having Maxi Kleba play some center minutes, I think it just benefits Gafford right now, because he's the guy sort of being listed as, you know, the number one center. So he's the top dog, I guess, amongst centers here, and he's very productive when he's on the floor. So I like him quite a bit here. I think he'll play 24, 25 minutes again, and I think he'll continue to project for, you know, 1.15 fantasy point per minute. So I think 30 plus DK points as well in range there. So there's been a couple of guys at the center position that I think are going to be fairly contrarian. I would think Gafford would probably be fairly contrarian, but, you know, guys like him, Kessler, a couple other guys that we mentioned in that price range. So I think amongst those guys, Gafford's probably the safest one, because I think his range of outcomes is a little bit tighter, but maybe not as high of a ceiling as some of these other guys, but I think he's a really strong play here.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying on Gafford. It's just a price thing for me.
Yeah, for sure.
His minutes bother me so much, because, I mean, like, his foul trouble bothers me too. Like, he gets in foul trouble more than he should, but yeah, I mean, if he does get the minutes, the upside is certainly there. All right, we got the Knicks at Denver to finish us out here. 210 total, Denver a 9-point favorite. OG Mitch Rob Randall out, Denver's good to go. Let's start with the Knicks. What do we like here for New York?
Yeah, going to continue to like Brunson. I mean, I've been very successful betting Brunson's props, so that'll probably be my first look for Brunson. But if they're going to continue to roll out 29.5 for him for a points prop, I'll continue to take the over there. His usage right now is just unreal with the current rotation that New York is rolling out. Obviously, Randall and OG and Anobi out, so he's just handling so much of the offense. He's also just playing a ton of minutes here. And honestly, he's not even playing as many minutes as he recently was prior to him dealing with that injury. So, yeah, I think Brunson's totally fine here, 9,100. Don't mind the price tag at all, especially with the current usage that he has. But Josh Hart, he's been an incredible producer, played 48 minutes last game, another triple-double for him. So, honestly, it sounds strange, but at 7,300, I think Josh Hart is still in play here, which that feels like you kind of makes you kind of want to throw open your mouth, Josh Hart at 7,300. But, I mean, man, he's putting up the numbers for sure. It'd be interesting to see what the starting lineup looks like for New York. Obviously, they went a little bit different last game with Miles McBride starting over Precious Achiuwa with OG and Anobi out. I think that was more so to do with the matchup, obviously, against the Warriors. They were able to, you know, downsize a little bit there. They're not going to have that luxury here against Denver with Jokic out there, so I wouldn't be surprised to see Precious slot right back into the starting lineup at the four. And when he starts, he plays a ton of minutes, and you should pretty much assume that anyone who starts outside of Isaiah Hartenstein has the ability to play 40 plus minutes. Miles McBride did last game and he played 46 minutes. Precious has shown when he gets the start, he can play 38, 40 minutes pretty regularly. So if he's starting again, 5,300 is too cheap. If McBride is starting again, 4,700 is too cheap. McBride has been a good permanent producer as well. So I'm definitely going to be looking at whoever's starting out of those two guys. I don't think they do anything weird and start anybody other than those two, but yeah, whoever starts between those two guys, very strong play in my opinion. And then obviously Brunson, I think, is a strong play. And then you can still consider Josh Hart because he's just been playing so many minutes and producing extremely well in those minutes.
Yeah, I like to make Brad call if he starts. Like you said, anybody that starts for the Knicks, you're all right. Well, 38 plus minutes. Yep. You love it. But yeah, I mean, Josh Hart is someone that we continue to talk about. Like, I know the price isn't sexy, but the dude has 60 plus point upside right now. His rebounding opportunities with Randall and OG off the floor have just gone through the roof. So, yeah, I mean, Josh Hart is definitely someone that I love here. And it's weird. You know, hey, you like Josh Hart at 7,300? Yeah, I like him more than I probably should. But, yeah, he's just been absolutely crushing this season. like the Brunson call. Him and Josh Hart have been playing really well together recently. And that's why we kind of we've seen the increase in assists for Josh Hart as well. And then on the Denver side, I mean, it's a six-game slate. Raw points matter. Jokic or Luka is always going to be the question when you're initially building lineups here. It's Luka 10 out of 10 times for me right now. Jokic is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. One of the best players in the NBA. Ceiling's just kind of capped because Murray's been playing great. Porter's been playing good. Gordon's been playing good. Denver's just playing really good basketball right now, which is hurting all of their upsides in the DFS world.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think a lot of these guys are priced pretty appropriately. I don't think you're necessarily getting a ton of value on anybody. And then Jokic, yeah, if Luka wasn't on the slate, he'd probably be the top spend up. But I think Luka's just the best player in fantasy right now. So we'll just continue to take him over anybody. But especially Jokic, if they're going to be in the same price range, you know, they're both above 12K. I'll just take Luka pretty easily. I don't think there's enough of a discount there to make me change my mind there. And then I think the matchup is also much, much better there for Luka. But if you're not playing Jokic, I do think Jamal Murray's fine. I think we've talked about probably a handful of guys now in this mid 8K range, or even I guess 8 to 9K range, that are all pretty strong plays. So if you were saying, okay, if you're not playing Jokic and you're assuming production is going to come from somewhere, wouldn't mind going to Murray. Also wouldn't mind going to Porter. We've seen Porter post some nice ceiling games, and they aren't necessarily just attached to scoring. Obviously, if you're going to play him, you want him to score 20-plus points and then hopefully have 7-plus rebounds as well. But, he had a couple games ago had, I think, 4 stocks. So, you're kind of hoping to maybe get a lucky game there with stocks and hope that he posts 6-7-plus rebounds along with the 20-plus points. But I would say I don't think that there's a ton of spots here on this Denver roster where I'm looking at them and feeling really good about them as a strong value. I think a lot of these guys are just priced pretty appropriately, and I don't necessarily love Aaron Gordon. I guess he's the cheapest one amongst these top four, but don't necessarily think he's underpriced here either.
All right, let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. And Dave says Luka 12-8, Jokic 11-9 on FanDuel. I still think I'd pay the extra $900 for Luka.
Yeah.
Again, like Jamal Murray is just playing really good basketball right now. And it's really hurt the ceiling of Jokic. All right. Favorite play under 5,000 to go 7X. Who do you got here for your value pick today?
Yeah, a couple options that I was considering. I think the guy, I'm afraid I might be stealing your option here, but you made a really great point on him. I think he makes a lot of sense. I think we're probably going to project him for 20 minutes, but I think there's a likelihood that he plays more. Jock Landale, 4,600. Obviously, the matchup against Chicago, they could potentially run out him and Jabari Smith side by side. If Chicago's going to get into any funny business with maybe a bigger court there, so I'll take Jock Landale.
I didn't take my guy. I thought for the second straight day, my guy was going to be picked, and it was going to be the second straight day of the same guy getting picked, but. Give me Ellis here for Sacramento. Only 25 minutes on Wednesday. That game was just way out of hand. Not saying this game might be much better. Washington's really bad. They turn over the ball a lot. This guy has huge stocks upside. He can score. He can rebound. He can assist. So I like this spot for Ellis. I think he's still too cheap at 4,100, assuming that Kevin Huerter is going to miss another game and Ellis is going to start. Over 8K to go under 5X. Who's your bust today?
Yeah, this one, there's a couple guys that I was considering, but I think my obvious pick is going to be DeMar DeRozan, 8,400, so just above that number there. If I'm playing the Chicago Bowl, I'm spending up. I'm with you. I prefer Vooch. If Coby White plays, I think that pick gets even better for a DeMar DeRozan bust, but either way, I'm going to go with DeRozan.
I hate to do it, but I'm going to go with my boy Paolo. Absolutely love the talent, love the skill. I'm a Magic fan. This is a game that's going to slow down in pace, good defense on both sides of this game. I just don't know if he has that 25-plus actual point upside in this matchup where he needs to really kind of pay off 8,800. So as much as I like Paolo and as much as I like him on my team, I think this is a spot I'm going to be fading him. Favorite 6X play, who do you got?
This one, I mean, I think there's one name that I want to go with, so I'll just throw out there, Bobby Portis. That is assuming the injuries sort of fall the way I think they might. Right now, I'm assuming Middleton's out, and I'm assuming Giannis is highly questionable. If Middleton is out and Giannis plays, I still like Portis, but I'll go with Malik Monk as my secondary play. Now, if both of those guys sit for Milwaukee, Bobby Portis is my pick.
Yeah, I like that one. Yeah, as crazy as it sounds, I wrote this down before we even talked about it, but I got Josh Hart as my favorite 6X play today. He's just doing it all. Like he's scoring enough, but the rebounding, the assists, they're just way up right now. The minutes, like he has one of the highest minute floors in the NBA right now. And I know you know that because you're on the projections team, and it's just like you're projecting the Knicks right now, and you're like, well, this guy's going to play 40 plus minutes. So, yeah. I like Josh Hart for 6X today. I think this is going to be a good competitive game that's going to kind of benefit a guy like Josh Hart. So, yeah, Josh Hart's my 6X play today. Let's get weird. GPP play of the day. Who do you got for us today?
Yeah, so I was trying to find a spot where maybe injuries weren't too vulnerable to where I can kind of ride this guy until lock. But it is going to be a little bit news dependent, but it's going to be Precious Achiuwa. I'm assuming if he starts, he probably won't be that weird. But I'm thinking that maybe considering that game is the last one to lock, we might get lucky here with some ownership there. So if Precious ends up continuing to be low owned throughout, these first four or five games locking, and we get news that he's starting, I think he would potentially stay, pretty under the radar in terms of ownership. So I'll go with Precious Achiuwa.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Yeah, my Let's Get Weird GPP play today is Derek Lively. As much as like I like Gafford as a player, this seems like a high probability foul spot for him. I think Derek Lively could like slide into like 20-ish minutes. He's such a good producer, fantasy point per minute type of guy, that if he got 20 plus minutes in this game, he could pay off this $4,100 price tag, and he should be low owned. Hate the fact that he's center only, but I want to play Sabonis. So, I mean, I don't mind using a utility spot on the center. So, Lively is a guy that I like here as my Let's Get Weird GPP play. Going to the betting portion of the show here, I'll be honest. There's some back-to-backs, and with back-to-backs, we don't have lines. Is there anything in the player prop or pick'em world or even lines world that you like here?
Yeah, I did want to look at Sabonis because I think it could be a spot for him to do really well. I think what could potentially happen if Rashawn Holmes is ruled out, he's questionable right now, we could see Kuzma at the five. And if Kuzma's at the five for any amount of time, Sabonis is going to have an absolute field day. Looks like we did just get lines for them. 36.5 points plus rebounds. I think that's a really strong play. That line just came out. The pick that I was going to go to, I did want to mention Sabonis because I think it's a really strong spot, especially in the prop betting markets, because DFS, it's going to be difficult to get to him, but I did want to mention him. But my pick's going to be Jalen Green over 30.5 points plus rebounds. I think he could easily score 30 plus points alone here. And as I mentioned earlier, he's shown some rebounding upside as well. 4 plus games, 7 plus rebounds, back-to-back games with 10 plus rebounds. So if he's able to add, 5-6 rebounds, I think he could easily go over this number. And I would not be surprised at all if he beats this number on points alone.
Hey, you mentioned that the Sacramento lines came up. Ellis, 2.5 steals and blocks. Instant bet. yeah. So, hey, there's an extra one. I didn't have that one written down. And when you said that, I like looked really quick and jumped right on that. I like the points rebounds for Sabonis too. I'm with you on that one. I bet that on Wednesday slate. And again, that game just kind of get out of hand. It was 37.5. So like this line could potentially move in our favor too. Yeah. So I don't mind betting either one of those the night before. But what I got today, I got two for everyone today. If you have been listening, you probably already kind of have an idea, but I like Fred VanVleet over 8.5 assists. You're getting this at plus money today. It's not the greatest matchup in the world, just in general, but the guy's potential assist rate is through the roof right now. Like I said, it was 17.4 before last game, and he had 11 assists. So it's probably close to that number, if not a little bit higher. His average assists are way up right now. He's hit this line in 4 of his last 5 games. So I'm going to keep riding VanVleet playing this like facilitator role with Sengun out. So like that one. And then I'm going to do one that, I mean, I've been betting this a ton for the last month, but I'm going to go to Josh Hart and his point assist prop here. It's at 15.5. I like the over on this. The assist rate's way up. The rebounding is way up. It's been in like 13 to 14.5 range, but he's just smashing this number with these guys out. So really just going to keep playing this Josh Hart over 15.5 rebounds and assists numbers. So Kyle, always fun. Thanks for hopping on. We'll be back tomorrow talking hoops. Hope everyone has a fantastic Thursday. We'll see you again on Friday.